Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Jessica Rhodes, who is an SEO and web strategist who helps businesses form web funnels and SEO strategies that generate leads and revenue through her web agency called Create It Web Designs. Today, we're going to be discussing Jessica's journey of building her agency and what she's learned along the way. So thank you so much for joining us today, Jessica.
Thank you so much for having me, Julia.
Yeah, absolutely. So to get started, you know, what really, you know, motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Well, I love being an entrepreneur. I love working with other entrepreneurs, networking with the entrepreneurs. It's just a really great space to be in. So I started my journey. It all has to do with how I started my journey.
Okay.
So I started my journey like when I graduated college. It was right around the dot-com bust, and I had wanted to go into web design. Of course, there's no jobs. So
right.
I took another career for 15 years integrating hospital systems, which is completely different than what I do now. There's a lot of IT and technical stuff behind the skills, but I ended up, I have three kids, and when I was pregnant with my third, and I had to go on bed rest, which means it ate up all my maternity leave. So what did I have to do? I had to quit. It's my job. So I stayed home with my third child for about 9 months. Then I was like, I want to do something. I want to go back into what I really wanted to do and circle back into doing web design work.
Very cool.
So of course, a lot has changed in 15 years. So I did a lot of self-study. I took a class at the local art school, just trying to get learn how to do like Photoshop and some other tools like that.
Yeah.
And then I slowly built up while like my child was napping or at preschool, and I started taking on nonprofit clients and then slowly building up. So when my child was in preschool or his last year of preschool and then kindergarten, I was running full time. So
that's amazing.
How I started my agency. So yeah.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And I built it to the point where I have one designer on my team. And then I also have a copywriter on my team. So
okay.
Yeah. And my copywriter, I met in a mom's group. She's a mom. So I love working with other moms. It really inspires me because I know we all have crazy schedules with kids pickup and soccer practices and coaching and school stuff and yeah. Summers. The kids are homesick. And it's like kind of a crazy life, but everybody understands. So that's what really kind of motivates me. So.
Very cool. I love that story. And, you know, what were some of those challenges that you had to overcome in the early days when you were first starting out?
Oh my goodness. Finding clients for what?
Yeah. How did you find those clients?
I did a lot of networking in the beginning. I went to a couple conferences and I met some great clients that really helped me to step into the career. So from there, I really started figuring out, because I'm like, I created my own website, of course, to market myself. And then when I first created my website, I was like, why am I on page 9? So then it's like the whole like SEO strategy. Now I'm on page 1 for my city.
Yep.
So now I do a lot of that help for my clients too. So I've had a lot of success with one particular client who's a construction client. He started his business a couple of years ago, and we've been able to get a lot of his clients organically through SEO by bumping him up for some keywords. And it's to the point where he's like, can you stop the leads coming in? I'm like, no, I can't stop them coming in. We can like narrow them down and build kind of like a funnel for you to help determine if it's a good client or not a good client. But yeah, that's a lot of how my story has transitioned. So yeah.
And that's like, that's an amazing problem to have when you have too many leads coming in. That's amazing for your client.
Yeah. So it's a lot of talking him into, first we had him get a CRM, a customer relationship management platform.
Yep.
So we can track those leads and figure out which is be the best conversions. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I love that you work on the other side, you know, past just driving the leads and work with your clients to help them to, you know, set them up for success on the other side of the funnel as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So how do you guys, you know, there's so many marketing agencies these days, you know, digital marketing's absolutely exploded. How do you guys set yourselves apart from other agencies?
This is a great question and one I've been really focusing on. I consider myself a boutique agency. I have a very small team and I don't want to become bigger because a lot of what I do is very personal. I am very hands-on to every single project. And that's why a lot of customers come to me, because they want the person they're talking to on the call to also be doing the work and be very involved. And right. So I only do web design and SEO, and I'll do, you know, local SEO, technical SEO and reviews. That's kind of circle that. But if my clients want anything outside of that, I've over the past 6 months built a network where if they want ads, I have a local ads person that only does ads for them to network with. So I've narrowed myself into kind of like a very small agency, and I'm sort of niching into construction, interior design. A lot of my clients come that way, and that's how I'm known. So that's how I get a lot of my clients, that and through SEO. So I have people reaching out to me because I'm on page 1 for Cincinnati web design. I get a lot of traffic that way.
That's awesome. I love that. That's it. And that's a fun niche. Sounds like working with interior designers as well.
Yes. Yes. Their photos are a dream to work with.
Yeah. 100%.
Gorgeous work. And it just makes it easy to design around those photos. Like their work is just so inspiring that we don't want to overdo the website, because we want those to make a website where those photos stand out.
Yeah. And that's a really cool strategy for getting referrals as well, because so many people in the construction industry, I'm sure, work with interior designers or some of them. So that's a really cool connection there.
Yeah. Yeah. They work hand in hand together. So
very cool. That's awesome. So if you had one growth tip for any up and coming agency owners who are just starting out, what would that be?
Network. Like I started off doing a lot of networking. I'm in a networking group now. I love being able to network with any type of marketer or like-minded person. Like, don't be afraid to reach out to other agencies, because they might be looking for somebody to fill in a gap for them temporarily. So like, just put yourself out there. That's the biggest tip I have.
Yeah. I love that.
It's hard to do, especially if you're just starting out, because you might not have the confidence, but just do it anyway. So just keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Networking can definitely be a little bit intimidating, you know, especially if you're more of an introverted personality type. But I agree, it's super powerful. And I love that tip of, you know, creating those strategic partnerships with other agencies, because yeah, it makes so much sense. You know, so many agencies will focus on a specific niche, like you mentioned, doing ads or just SEO. And yeah, whenever you can just, you've got a reliable partner that you can hand work off to, and you can do that vice versa, it makes it, it's really nice to have those partnerships.
Yes.
Awesome. So I'd love to pivot a little bit and talk about sales. So how do you typically, you know, bring in a steady stream of leads into your agency? What does that look like for you?
So typically, like, there'd be a referral or somebody in the network. I don't do a lot of cold outreach. I usually let prospects come to me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get sent to them by marketing directors that I've networked with. But first of all, I want to make sure it's a good fit. So I'll ask them kind of a series of questions. I typically only work with businesses that are established. I don't work with a lot of startups typically, just because there's so many challenges you have as a startup with getting your logo, kind of figuring out really who you are and who you want to serve. Mm-hmm. So I really work with clients that know who they are really serving. Because once you know who you serve, it's making a website focus on that and funnel for that audience is a lot easier.
Yes.
I usually ask them some questions up front. And then if it's a good match, we'll have a discovery call and I'll ask them questions and they can ask me questions. But it's really most of my discovery call is the client or the potential client talking. I just want them to talk and hear what they have to say and determine if it's a good fit. So most of them are good fits. And then from there, I send them a quote. And if it's within their budget, we'll go from there. So
very good. And then it's typically coming in through, you know, SEO means, I'm guessing, or referrals. Is that how you're typically bringing the leads in?
Correct. Either SEO or referrals.
Okay. Or
networking. So.
Okay. So you're still doing networking.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Awesome.
Still networking. So.
I love it.
Never stop networking.
It's actually surprising. I'm surprised that not more entrepreneurs talk about networking on the podcast. So,
it's so powerful. And I've joined one networking group. I've joined several. I've joined a women only one in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. I went and spoke to a chamber of commerce the girl was in charge of, and I just got to meet some really cool ladies doing some really great things. And mm-hmm. It's so fun just to like be somebody else's cheerleader, like liking something on Facebook and like saying, hey, you're totally awesome too, because the more you lift somebody else up, like, and one, it's, I enjoy doing it, but also you develop a relationship and as a friend and networker and business associate. And it's just a really powerful thing. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a guest on a couple months ago and she talked about how she would do coffee shop networking. So she would go in Starbucks and she would just connect with people in there, just spontaneously. And she ended up writing a book about it because it was such a successful networking strategy for her. She met so many people. And it was so funny. She also said that she would go into like a bar at lunchtime and just sit at the bar and, you know, just work. And she would just end up striking up these conversations with people. And it led to a ton of just great connections.
Yeah, it's really fun to do. And, you know, we're in such a day and age where we're like, oh, there's a break. Let me just type on my phone or check my email really quick. But yep. If you spend some time actually talking to people, it can be, it's really fun sometimes.
Like, yeah.
Striking up a conversation with somebody, just whether you have in common, where it's like a mom at a coffee shop taking care of her kids, you can find out, oh yeah, like she's an executive and she's on her break going on a walk with her kids in a coffee shop. So
yeah,
it's really, really fun. So
yeah, I love it. So how do you maintain happy clients who are going to bring in those referrals to you at the end of the day?
So for my existing clients, I carve out a lot of my work is repeat work for my clients, whether they're adding pages or just answering questions. I send them a monthly report of all their statistics and analytics each month. Mm-hmm. So I communicate via email that way, whether they look at it or not, they can decide that. But one of the big thing is I always respond to my current clients right away. I save a block of time, typically 4 to 8 hours each week for my existing clients on any needs that they have. That's from all my existing clients. And then any new clients go around that time. So I kind of like my existing clients are priority number one versus new client projects I work on. So
okay.
I explain that in my sales calls. And I think that's what makes a lot of my clients really happy is that. And I get more feedback from clients. It's like, they'll call me and I'll be like, I actually answer the phone. You're like, you answer the phone. I'm like, yeah, answer the phone. I can't always answer the phone, but if not, I'll call you back. And I have a lot of clients who are really surprised by that. So
okay.
Now I do tell my clients, I'm not a texter. Don't text me. I will call you back. Don't text.
Yeah. It can get to be too confusing when there's too many different avenues of communication when it gets to be the email, text, calling. They leave a message. If you miss the call from them, then it can just become, it's easier to miss something that way, I find.
Yeah, that and my kids are like, because I have younger kids, or my kids are ages 8 to 16, and they're all into texting. So I kind of like when my phone's pinging, I know it's them or somebody needs something right away. So for me, it's like a psychological thing. Like somebody needs me right away versus my clients I can't always do something for them right away because my family is number one, client, my work's number two. So I kind of make priorities that way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So you really make sure that they feel heard and seen, you respond to them quickly. And that's one way that you really maintain happy clients.
Yes. Yes.
Very good. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown your agency?
Saying no.
That's a good one.
And I've had this conversation a lot the last month because you get to a point where you're a business where it's like you want to grow, but how do you want to grow? And my work schedule is I work about 32 hours a week. I'm not 40. I'm not 50, 60. To me, that's crazy. And it's a point of what to say no to. And I think, and I'm to a point in my entrepreneur journey, I'm going to say no more than I'm saying yes. So, and I think it's a really hard thing to learn because you want to, you know, you see like opportunities that can be really amazing, but is it really right for you at the right time? And so it's really the power of saying no. So yeah, I'm not going to say yes to every project, even though it sounds amazing. So
yeah,
that's been the hardest, really the hardest thing. So.
And what do you look for, you know, when you're deciding whether you're going to take on a project or not take on a project, you know, do you have a goal that you want to work towards? And that's sort of the lens that you're looking through when you're accepting projects. Like, how does that work?
So like, first, it's a lot of feel. Like, am I going to get along with this person or the marketing director and the team? Is it a project I really, truly believe in? Is a company I would totally back? Because like, not only do I want to like, I wanted them to be part of my network too. So I would want to be their cheerleaders. So if as long as I love the product, the company, and I know I'm going to enjoy the project, it'll be a yes. So
awesome. Yeah.
And then of course all my clients, like the continuous work that they would like done, it's an always a yes, but it's more like additional things I might say, not to my existing clients, but potential clients. So for example, somebody asked me if I would do their website and I was like, well, you're not really in my niche. Like, I love what you're doing and I can give you a list of other people I've networked with that I think would be a good fit, but mm-hmm. it's going to be a no. So
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, very good. So where do you see Create-It Web Designs in 5 years time?
Oh my goodness. You know what? I really enjoying the slow and steady growth. So I played around with creating a course and helping other people. I actually have a free course. You can grab my free SEO 101 course at SEO101course.com. And then I've also played around. I actually have one almost all built, except for I haven't recorded the last section. It's just that last little bit.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of played around with that, but I don't know. I really haven't thought that far out. I don't know if I'm hesitant because of COVID and all my kids got sent home and everything got like crazy, that it's hard for me to think sometimes that far out. So yeah. I'm really enjoying where I'm at in the space I'm in, but I still imagine in 5 years, I love what I do. I keep wanting to do what I do. And it's amazing in the agency workspace, like how many agencies disappear. Like,
yeah,
it's amazing. Cause I've been in business shows in my Google listing, like business 7+, or I think I'm at 8+ years now.
Interesting. And
I plan on still doing the exact same thing. So
yeah, you're just slowly continuing to grow and making sure that you're, you know, staying passionate. You're not burning yourself out so that you can continue to offer that great service to your clients.
Exactly.
Yeah. Awesome. So we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Oh, there's so many. My favorite book, business book that I've read is The Story Brand by Donald Miller. I think I've reread that like 3 times. It's the basis of all my websites strategy is based around that book. He just writes it so brilliantly. The book I'm reading right now is called Deep Work.
Okay.
It's all about scheduling your time into more kind of block schedules so you can like really dive deeper, and it's really helps with like creative processes. So
I love that. Yes. Yeah. That's so, I think that's such a great strategy. That's what I personally do as well. And it's worked really well for me. So interesting. Yeah. And what does your morning routine look like?
So I have kids. So my morning routine is different every single day. and they're just finally back in school. Yes. So,
yes.
But typically like on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, like this morning, today is a Wednesday. So I went and did a spin class at 6 a.m. So I get up, I eat a yogurt, go spin class, and then I get my kids ready for school. And then I dive into work. Typically when I dive in, I set my alarm clock for any meetings that I have. So I can focus. And when my alarm goes off, I know I need to get on a call.
That's really smart.
And so that really helps me to stay focused into my work. I usually typically check my email first, and then I go through, I use ClickUp and I see what tasks I need to do for today. So
awesome.
That's typically. And then 2 days a week, I also do a 5-minute like women's Bible study. I have this book, it's called 5 Minutes Women's Bible Study. And it's kind of like a Bible verse with a reflection. And so that helps me to just start the day feeling grateful and refreshed.
I love that.
And then Thursday and Friday, I sleep in a little bit. I'm doing spin class at 6. So
yeah.
I get to spend an extra hour and I'm up at 6:45. So
yeah, you gotta have that balance.
I do. So I get like, my days aren't like always exactly the same. Yeah.
Very good. Perfect. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
There are a couple. I really like Donnie Bovine. He is the He has a networking group called SCN. I really liked his book, and his book talked about how his CEO schedule is, and I'm starting to implement a lot of his things. One, he talked about blocking stuff out, but one, he schedules every single hour of his day to help him figure out what tasks, and especially like business type tasks, because it's always easier to work in your business than it is on your business.
Yes.
And I love how he talks about working on your business and scheduling those. And I'm working through that right now. The other person I love to follow as a CEO is Amy Porterfield. She's an online marketer who teaches people how to do courses. And I really like everything. Like she talks about her schedule and stuff like that. And I love hearing how she works.
Very good. Perfect. And what is your favorite online tool?
Okay, so it's going to be kind of really geeky. So, because it's in the web space. The new one I just bought, and I'm totally in love with it. It's a Chrome extension. It's called Hoverfy. And okay. It just like you can click on an element on a website, and then it tells you like all the CSS code. It allows you to look at your website and like multiple mobile views and scroll through it really quick. And it really helps me to like quickly do some web stuff. So
that's cool.
That's my favorite tool right now. In other like leadership, I love ClickUp. ClickUp is like my lifeblood of all my organization for my clients, my life, everything. And I look at that like daily and constantly making sure I'm completing tasks and getting stuff done.
Okay. Yeah, those are great recommendations. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
This one's always the hard one. I think it took me a long time in the beginning to know that like failure is okay. And I think that's, as an entrepreneur, you learn that like, it's not like means you fail. It's like, sometimes it takes multiple times to get something right. And everything is kind
exactly.
of like an experiment. There's no, don't do perfection. You got to look at everything as an experiment. So doing things like you might design a website and you'd be like, in the very beginning, I was like, this looks awful. Scrap it. I'm getting a new theme. Let's try something else. That wasn't exactly what I wanted, but I'm going to make something right. And it took a while to find the right tools to do what I wanted to do. So that, and like drop perfectionism. Done is better than perfect.
Yes. I love that.
The biggest, I say it all the time now, but it took a while to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a crutch in a way, having that perfectionist attitude, because it can be an excuse to not, you know, move as quickly as entrepreneurs are definitely capable of. So yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Jessica. It was a real pleasure to have you on the podcast, and I've really enjoyed chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed being here.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.